servant, do what you must do to make me a servant. Make me like you.
Hello and welcome to Counsel from Above. I am your host, Nathan Honeycutt, licensed professional counselor, minister of the Churches of Christ, coming together with you today to be able to consider some questions specifically on the topic of grief. My mom and dad, when I was a kid, used to always use the phrase, good grief, oftentimes. And so as we think about grief today, I think about, is there such thing as good grief? And as we consider that, I have a few questions for us in our time together. Welcome and glad that you're with us. Let's jump in on this and see what we find out. First question comes from Janie from Kansas. She asks the question, why do I feel so sad when I know they, my parents, are both in heaven and no more in pain? I think mostly accepting when death comes before you expect it. I know Dad was 94, but I wasn't ready to let him go. I guess I feel like I'm not a very good Christian because even though he's in heaven, I want him here. How do I get past the sadness that is completely overwhelmingly? Janie, thank you so very much for your question. First and foremost, you're not alone. When it comes to the passing of someone in our life, it is very, very difficult, whether expected or unexpected. I know as far as culture is concerned, we express and try to present the fact that if you know that they're passing, or if they're older in age, or if they get sick and things like that, then all of a sudden when they pass, it's all of a sudden easier. But I think that's false in many ways, positive in some ways. It all depends on who we are. It depends on what we're doing in our life and our outlook and presentation. So often when it comes to grief, we struggle to deal with the things in a way that everyone tells us we ought to live. And we try to fit this certain mindset or this certain idea that, okay, this past person's died, then it should be enough, should be it. But it's not. If you think about grief, grief truly, I think, is about our focus on what we don't have anymore or what we don't get to enjoy anymore. We get centered upon, you know, I would have called them at this time, or I wish they would have been in attendance to this, or I wish I would have been there for this part of their life or that part of their life. And oftentimes it is this aspect that we feel the most grief and we feel the most pain. And oftentimes we fail to focus upon what we did have or focus upon the things that were there or the blessings that happen that we get to present their story or tell them to other people. And so oftentimes we fail to realize that grief is a natural process. If you don't feel grief when someone passes, there's something wrong. There may be even something wrong with us. If we have a loved one that passes, but it doesn't bother us. This is about counsel from above, God's presentation. If you think about John 11:35, shortest verse, you know, if anybody ever wants to memorize a verse, memorize this one. Jesus wept. That's the easiest there is. But think about the context of that passage. The context of that passage is Lazarus is dead. His family is grieving. And Jesus walks in knowing he's about to raise him from the dead. And yet Jesus, when having this conversation with Mary and Martha and the family and all that are there and see all this mourning, Jesus weeps. Jesus cries. Jesus mourns. And you think about Jesus' perspective. He knows he's about to raise him from the dead. But yet still he has this grief, he has this pain, he has this hurt. It's because when you and I consider our plays, we consider those things that are going on, it does hurt. And it's supposed to hurt. You think about Ecclesiastes chapter 3. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 2 through 8, Solomon, the wise man, says there is a time for mourning. There's a time for dancing. There's a time for laughing. But he says, there's a time for weeping. You know, if a person that we love passes away, we should feel sad. And it doesn't make us any less of a Christian. It doesn't make us any less of a person. It doesn't make us any way, shape, or form have any worse connection to our Father. Because the reality is that we don't have that connection anymore that we always have loved and appreciated and enjoyed, especially if it's our parents. I mean, J.D., you have parents of 90-some years old, and the reality is that you're connected to them deeply. Who wouldn't want them to still be there? I think about the perspective of David. When his baby son and his baby dies, his statement was, I can't fix that. I can't do anything. I can't bring him back to life. But, he said, I can go to him. And that's where our focus begins to be. Much like our God creating a memorial service for his son, an appreciation for the life that he lived, you and I, with our loved ones, get to do the same. To express an appreciation, to express a thankfulness, to express a gladness that we had that time. Allow ourselves to grieve, allow ourselves to lose and miss, but also allow ourselves to appreciate, to be able to move forward and to grow with a memory and a remembrance and a reminder that this person who passed is important to me. Janie, thank you for the question. Question number two is asked to be anonymous. They too have sent it through a messenger. The question is this: today's school shooting, this was sent to me on May 24th, 2020. Those of you are going to look up Google if you're not present in time. But this particular shooting was related to Uvalde, Texas, in which a number of children and adults lost their life in this school shooting. And this particular person asked this question, says, today's shooting has me and my husband upset and sad. Perhaps you can address on your podcast these horrific events that are hard to understand, how this could happen to innocent children. Of course, we know trauma is the reason for many mental problems. Well, Anonymous, thank you for the question. We consider this tragedy. We consider the things that took place. And over again, I think about 9/11, I think about Sandy Hook, I think about Columbine, I think about Jonesboro, and on the list goes. And we are mourned because these young kids of 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, whatever the age range is, don't get to live to be 80, 90, 100. They have such a short time. And those families that don't get that opportunity to continue to mold and grow with this child, That all gets taken away because of this person's decision and choice. I'm reminded of Genesis chapter 4. In Genesis chapter 4 and verse number 8, you have an event that is taking place in which Abel and Cain provide God a sacrifice. And for Abel, the offering and the sacrifice was accepted, but for Cain, God had no regard. Because of Cain's choice and because of Cain's offering not being accepted, Cain became very angry. And in verse 6, the Lord says, why are you angry and why is your face fallen? And then as he thinks about or considers this, whatever time frame, whatever space has happened, verse 8 says, Cain spoke to Abel, his brother. And then when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel, and he killed him. Cain killed Abel because God didn't accept his sacrifice, but accepted Abel's. How is it Abel's fault? Why is Abel the problem? Here's something that we learn, I think, throughout time. And that's the fact that life is not fair. Consequences are felt not by just the guilty party. The person that commits the sin is not the only person that is forced to deal with those things. Instead, there are others involved. This connection among us all, we all have to deal with the choices that are made. The drunk driver crossing the center line, the person walking in and shooting people, on and on, the list goes. Consequences of choices do not only reside within the person that does the sin. And that's because we have free will. It's because we have choice. It's because God has given us the opportunity, the option, to make a decision. And it's that decision that is important. And that's why we're teaching ourselves and teaching our kids. Every decision is important. And every decision has to be made by understanding a bigger picture and a greater thing and what's more important. Because when God is the most important, those decisions become better. Those decisions become more in line with what God would want them to be. But as long as God is not in that spot in our life, as long as God is not that important one, then those decisions are based on the moment and our feelings and our thoughts and the things that are going on just right that second. You know, God has a very different perspective than us. You know, God's perspective is what my former boss used to call a 30,000 foot view. He has this view that he sees so much greater. We see such a small picture. We see this tragedy and we see such a very small picture. But God has a much bigger picture. God has a much larger view. And here's the reality from God's perspective, I think. God grieves too. God hurts with us. When these choices are made, when these decisions are made, there is a grieving that takes place even within God. You look at Genesis chapter 6, and you look at verse number 5 and look at verse number 6. We have in this passage, it says, "For God saw," or the Lord saw, "that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every intention of the thought of their hearts was evil continuously." Can you imagine that world? We look at our world and we think people have big issues and things of that nature, but there's still some fledgling of good and some morals at times. And there are people who are trying to do the right thing. Can you imagine this world? This is a world that says every thought of the man was evil continuously. And this is what God felt about it. Verse 6, "And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart." God hurts too. God goes through those pains, but he allows man to make that decision. He allows man to make choices. He allows man to decide how they're going to live. We want to question God, and I don't know that that's necessarily a bad thing. Job did. Job questioned God because Job had a certain view. You and I read the book of Job and we read of this man going through this because of how good he was. Job thought he was going through it because he did something wrong. He went to God and he said, "God, put me on trial. Tell me what I've done wrong. Prove that I am this sinful and horrible person that needs to be punished." Job wasn't being punished. Job went through this because of his love, because of how much he cared, because of his connection to God. So he went to God. He said, "God, explain this to me. Put me on trial. Be the judge. Tell me what I've done wrong." And then you have God's response. And God responds in a interesting format. In Job chapter 38, you have him coming to Job and say, "Okay, Job, let me answer you." And he rattles off item after item after item. "Job, you ever thought of this? Job, you ever thought of this? Job, you ever thought of this?" Stuff that no human being could ever even so much as possibly comprehend. And God's laying every item one after another after another. He says, "Think about this. What about this? What about this?" And then you find chapter 40, verse number 1. "And the Lord said to Job, shall a fault finder contend with the Almighty? He who argues with God, let him answer. And Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am of small account. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand on my mouth. I have spoken once and I will not answer twice, but I will proceed no further." There are more things going on than I think you and I will ever understand. It doesn't make sense how those children lost their lives. It doesn't make sense. And it shouldn't make sense, I don't think. But here's the reality of the matter. If we understand and recognize Romans chapter 8, and we read verse 28 clearly. We find in that passage something that is promised and guaranteed if we hold up our end of the bargain. When you look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, it says, and we know, not we think, we perceive, we perhaps have, maybe. No, he says, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. If you and I want the promise and guarantee that all things will work out for good, two things have to take place. Number one, we have to love God. We have to put God in a position in our world that says he is the most important and most vital. We have to not only offer words of love to God, but we also have to be called according to his purpose. Number two, live the life that he asks. Live the life that he commands. For you and I to know, no matter what the tragedy, no matter what the event, no matter what happens, for you and I to have a promise and a guarantee that you and I can serve him and this tragedy will work out for good, we have to love God and we have to be called according to his purpose. Today I am launching this particular podcast on May the 30th, 2022. May the 30th is a very important day in the life of my family. The reason is on this day in 1980, my brother Eric Ryan Honeycutt was born. He was born and 2 years later, he was diagnosed with leukemia. For the next 5 years, he battled leukemia, going through countless treatments and countless pokes and prods and just sickness and illness and things to try to make him better, only making him sick. And for those 5 years, he suffered. And I remember at the end of his suffering, a few days after his funeral, going and talking to my mom and talking to my dad and saying, how does this make sense? And I know that throughout the years, my family has grieved his passing. It's not fair. It's not fair. It's not fair that his graduating class graduated without him. It's not fair that he didn't get to have girlfriends and have dates and get married and have. It's not fair. But here's what we had to learn. Number one, life's not fair. And number two, his life, his dedication, his courage has strengthened so many others over the years, that has provided knowledge and education and has changed the course of, if I truly believe, my own life. And I think you and I have to take the things that happen to our life and say, do I love God? Am I called according to his purpose? If so, I have a promise that says this is going to be working out. This is going to work out for good if I live that way. My prayers and my thoughts go to these families who are suffering so much of the loss of their child. And I pray the comforting hand of God is there with them each and every moment of each and every day, that they too, like many other families, can use this as a memorial and appreciation for the way they lived and the way they acted. The third and final question I have for this moment is one that hits very close to home. Again, an anonymous person emailed me. He says, after the loss of our child, it seemed my friends felt uncomfortable when I talked about him. To me, he is still part of our lives as much as our other two children. Should I avoid the topic around them? You know, having experienced this many a times with my own family, the one thing I have noticed is that your heart, I think, shows through this. You care about what other people think. You care to try to make them more comfortable you know, for many of us, it's like, you know, get over it. You know, for if you don't want me talking about it, then you need to leave. But yet this, you are asking, how do I help them feel comfortable? Well, here's what I think about. I think about the Lord's Supper. God instituted a memorial for his son, and it makes people uncomfortable. For those that understand, for those that care, for those that are connected, it makes perfect sense. And it's a communion, and it's a union, it's a gathering together. It's a connection that is taking place. And but for some, it's an uncomfortable thing. It's a hurtful thing. It's a thing that struggles. Well, if it was that way with Jesus, it's going to be that way with our loved ones as well. And a lot of times, it's about they don't know what to say. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to answer. And it's more about their uncomfortability and just them misunderstanding what they should say or what should they do. You know, God tells us to proclaim his Lord's death until he comes. You have throughout the Bible, have people that were taken or people that lost, and the story is there. The story is there to provide strength and courage and encouragement. And for those that will listen, it does that. For those that don't listen, it won't. So for us, it's important to balance, to provide the mentioning when it fits. Don't force it. Don't try to find ways to be able to make it fit, because then it looks lacks genuineness. But if it fits, he's part of the family. If it fits, it fits the situation. Because the reality is that our loved one's memory continues because we keep it alive. We make sure that it doesn't go away. We provide those stories. We provide that encouragement. We provide those things. So I think as much as our Lord and Savior is memorialized each Sunday through the Lord's Supper, we, when we can, memorialize our loved ones in appreciation for their courage and for their life. Well, I sure appreciate you. And if you've stuck around to this point, I really appreciate you. Thank you so much for the opportunity for me to take a few moments in your day and your time. If you have a question, I encourage you to send it to me. You can send it to counselfromabove@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook, also on Twitter. Twitter, it is #counselfromabove without the E at the end. They cut me off before I could put the E. So if you have anything, please send it to me. If you'd like to stay anonymous, just write in there. I don't want my name mentioned. Obviously, I have no issue with that. If you want your name mentioned, tell me how you would like it to be presented. I am so grateful for your time. I'm so grateful for the opportunity to consider these questions. If you have further questions, if you have further ideas, please let me know. Because together we're going to seek and we're going to work so that we can gain counsel from above.